This program was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local programs, go to our website, freshfm.net, or download the Access Internet radio app.
Hello and welcome. I'm Galen Pound and you're listening to Top Writers. Today I am talking to local author Marianne Castle, whose first novel, Two Dogs, One Bone, printed by Kalpi Press, was published earlier this year. Welcome to Top Writers, Marianne.
Thank you, Galen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, congratulations on your first novel.
Thank you.
What's it about?
Well, it's an anecdotal account of my career as a dog trainer, dog groomer, and dog walker, and as you can imagine, all the little adventures along the way. It's set in the early 80s to the late 90s.
Would you like to tell us how you ended up being Nelson's first professional dog trainer?
I began my career in Australia when I was living there. I saw my first dog obedience trial and I was so captivated. I knew then and there I wanted to be a professional dog trainer. When I came home in about 1989, I came home to Nelson, started up and realised there were no other professional dog trainers. So that's how I became the first one. Everyone else had to go to the dog club, which is fine, but some people needed more one-on-one or, you know, specialised help.
What were some of the difficulties that you encountered?
With being the first?
Yes.
Dog trainer? Yeah, I've got this in my book. I didn't realise it, that you weren't allowed to take people from a club and train them because it was looked upon as cheating. In Australia, that wasn't the case. So yes, in those early days, I did encounter some hostility from the club and also from the head office in Wellington, and I was told that I wouldn't be allowed to train people if they were going to compete. So I had to tell my clients this. And sometimes these clients didn't want help with the actual trial obedience work. They wanted help with a problem, like a dog biting their visitor. And not always the club could help. So that was really difficult. When that ended, I can't recall, because in the end, about a year into my career, I forgot to tell people and the fuss died down, thankfully.
Have things changed?
Oh, hugely. Amazingly so. I'm actually retired from that career now, but I see a lot of up-and-coming people and well-established dog trainers here in Nelson, which is fabulous. And you do need a lot of choice. So I'm really pleased to see that.
Right. Now, in the book, there are some very funny moments, like Ig's encounter with a barbed wire fence.
Yeah. Dear Ig's. He was a border collie cross. A very, very gentle soul, a real softy. One day up the Maitai Valley, he had gone under a fence to investigate something, and I'd kept walking with my troop of dog walkers. He was keeping an eye on us and saw us getting away, so he wanted to make the quickest recovery to get to us. So instead of coming back under the fence, he decided to jump over it, but he didn't do a very good job of it. He landed on top of the barbed wire. And I can tell you, I've never heard a dog scream so badly. I should have realised that his guts wasn't pouring out, because with his screams that he was trying to tell the whole of the Maitai Valley that his guts was pouring out, if it was, he wouldn't have been able to have the energy to do that. I had to sort of ping him off backwards because I'm only short and he was up quite high, so I had to actually prise his front feet off the fence and throw him backwards, and all the while I was so scared about what I might see. As it turned out, he didn't even have a scratch on him, and he went on his way quite nicely. It was me that needed to have a cup of tea and a lie down.
And at the time it happened, you were out walking other dogs.
Yes, it was my dog walking troop. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into the dog walking?
Oh, quite by accident. That wasn't really on my list to add to dog training and dog grooming. It came about because some of my clients who didn't really want to put the effort into dog training figured that if they got me to do dog walking, then I would probably train their dog along the way, which wasn't meant to happen, but of course it did. So they were very clever.
Right, now, there are also some very poignant moments in the book, such as Dylan and the therapy dog. Can you tell us about that situation, please?
Yes. Ben, my golden retriever, who is the hero in the book, he most fabulous dog I have ever come across. He went round to hospitals, rest homes, and on this occasion, it was a rehabilitation unit, and there was a fellow in there that had had a nasty accident, getting his head beaten to a pulp by an opposing bikie gang. And he couldn't talk, but he could be very aggressive. And he was getting aggressive with the nurses who tried to take him to the shower or to the toilet or out for a walk. So we were called in. And Ben, and also this fellow, very amiable to dogs, thankfully. And Ben was just the perfect dog to put with him. He was so patient. And he persuaded this fellow that he must go and have a shower or have a walk. And because the fellow was so uncoordinated, he would wobble like a drunkard. And Ben, just like a dance partner, would wobble in the right places alongside him. It was so touching to watch. I have to say, I was actually scared that Ben might get beaten up, but he didn't.
Now, therapy dogs are quite common in rest homes and
yes,
that
it's great.
Today. So what breed of dogs are really good for that kind of work?
Golden retrievers, Labradors, many, many different breeds, and not so much purebreds. Crossbreeds are okay. It's more the temperament that you need to look out for, and that is just a calm dog. Greyhounds are excellent at it. Something just nice and calm, that doesn't mouth people, yeah.
And do they require special training?
Or? Yeah, they do, yeah, yeah.
And where do they get that training?
These days, I haven't done that for a while because my two dogs that I have aren't temperamentally suited. They're lovely, lovely dogs, but they're not calm enough to go into a rest home. So I'm not actually sure where they get their training these days.
Right. Could you please read us something from your book?
Sure, I'd love to. This is a piece I've chosen in my book about the home alone dog. So, you know, people that have to go out to work all day, every day, and sometimes the dogs don't cope so well. So this is a light-hearted look at a serious subject. Tonight was a winter's evening, a bitterly cold, rainy one. It was 6 o'clock when Stella got home from work. She had walked in the door and been greeted by her two-year-old, boisterous, brain-bored Jack Russell Terrier. When she bent to pat him, Toby bounced up to greet her, and his head and her mouth connected to give her a fat lip. "But that's fine," Stella thought. "That'll save me on Botox injections for a week or two." She walked into the lounge to put her bag down and was delighted to see that Toby had disemboweled the couch for the third time. She had hated her coloured choice that the upholsterers had charged a fortune for. Now she could choose another colour that she could hate. Perhaps she could use a portion of the curtain that Toby had swung off and that was now in a crumpled heap on the floor. Stella walked down the hallway towards the bedroom, noticing on the way that Toby had thoughtfully fetched a shoe out of her wardrobe and redesigned it. One of the expensive Italian shoes she'd bought whilst on holiday in Melbourne only 2 months ago. The strappy numbers that made her feet look sexy. He had removed the thong that goes between the toes. But he'd only done the one shoe. Oh, that's a shame he only had time to do just the one. The thongs were so uncomfortable. I'd better leave the other one out for him to get on with. She turned to go into the bedroom, and while she was taking off her coat and hanging it up, she surveyed the bed covers. The bed had been bounced on, the duvet and sheets sat in a heap on the bed, and the darling wee munchkin had pooed all over them. Oh, good, she thought. The bed needed changing, and that would spur her into doing it. Thank you, Toby. But it was the euphoric feeling of floating through a cloud of down and feathers from the inviscerated pillows that made her the most happy. She went into the kitchen to make herself a nice hot cup of coffee. "Aw, that's so cute," she thought, eyeing the contents of the rubbish bin spewed over the floor. Some of the tastier bits had obviously ended up in Toby's tummy. It's lovely to see he'd made himself a nice picnic. Taking the phone and her coffee, she settled on the couch, her bottom sinking through the hole. As she dialed my number, her eyes settled on the TV remote that had been on the coffee table but was now on the floor. She looked at its gnarled appearance and thanked the good grace of God that it was an inanimate object, because, by golly, that would have hurt. "Hello, canine care specialist, Katie speaking." "Hello, Katie, the dog trainer?" "Yes, that's right. How can I help?" I replied with a cheerful tone. "I want you to come over at once and remove this little bastard from my life."
I guess after that we would all feel that way.
It's a common thing with home alone dogs.
Yes. Now, Katie, of course, is the main character in your book.
Yes.
And her name is Katie Palace.
Yes. I chose the name because Katie is, if I wasn't called Marianne, I wanted to be called Katie, because my first childhood books were What Katie Did books. They were my favourites. And the Palace, I've spelt P-A-L-L-I-S, is a fun turn on castle.
Castle, palace, very clever. And we do need to point out that it is a fictional account of events that did happen.
Well, yeah, I've changed names. I had to protect the innocent and not so innocent.
Right. Now, there's a lot of controversy these days about certain breeds of dogs. Do you personally believe that the dogs are bred to be dangerous, or are they just raised that way?
That is a very tough question to answer in a very short space of time, and I don't like to sound like a politician, but I'll skirt around that. What I would like to point out is a Bichon Frise is as capable as bringing down a sheep as a pit bull terrier. A well-trained dog, however, won't.
I'm just asking, a friend of my brother's had a Rottweiler, right, considered dangerous breed, and it was the biggest softie.
Yes, yes, they absolutely can be. I do tend to look at how they're raised more than, I mean, genetics do have a part to play in it, bad breeding, but I have encountered some really bad golden retrievers, and that probably is due to genetical breeding, but on the whole, training can fix a lot.
Right. Now, so what sort of things should people consider when choosing a dog?
Well, the obvious, do your research, but more than anything, make that commitment to that dog. You are about to inflict yourself on a poor innocent dog. Make sure that you intend to give it a long, happy life. Learn about dog training. That's the kindest thing you can do to a dog, is learn how they tick. You also need to be honest with yourself. Are you a lazy person? That's fine. There are dogs to suit. Are you energetic? Again, dogs to suit. You need to be honest. If you're going to a rescue shelter, be honest with the staff, because they can help you choose the right dog.
Right, so what about for people that everyone's out working all day? How appropriate is a dog left alone at home all day?
It's hard. Like the story I read to you just now, it's very hard on the dog. And in my book, I do give tips on how to get around that. Because I hate to think that someone who's working full time can't have a dog. It doesn't seem fair. And there are ways to do it. But a dog left on their own all day, every day, is not the ideal thing.
Now, you actually used to walk other people's dogs. Are there services like that available in Nelson?
Absolutely, yeah. Google that. Have a look. There are lots of places. Do be aware that some people probably don't have the qualifications that you might want. So just do your research, but they're not hard to find.
or ask your local vet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I would love a dog, but my husband keeps telling me that we do not have enough land. We've only got a quarter of an acre. How important is it to have a big backyard for a reasonable sized dog?
It's not important at all. You can have the size of a greyhound on a handkerchief size lawn as long as you are willing to take it out for two walks a day minimum. They don't have to be long walks, depending on the breed. Some dogs are more energetic, of course. But if you've got a half an acre or a whole farm, your dog shouldn't be running around there unsupervised.
No, now, greyhounds, there's a misconception with them that they need a lot of exercise.
And they don't. Absolutely. They are perfect for the ultimate lazy person or elderly people. They are ideal.
Now, the elderly or people of more mature years, as I prefer to refer to them,
yep.
all seem to go for little dogs. Mm. Now, little dogs scare the living daylights out of me because I'm always terrified of tripping over them or standing on them. What are the advantages and disadvantages of small dogs for older people, many of whom could be immobile?
I think a lot of people get the smaller dogs thinking that they won't be as high maintenance in the exercise department and the grooming department, but often they are very high maintenance. A greyhound, for instance, is low maintenance in the exercise, low maintenance for grooming. They are very calm and serene. They don't take up a lot of space. You don't need a big area for them as long as they get out for their little walks. They do like the occasional zoomies on the beach, but you can always, you know, if you aren't capable of doing that, you can get a dog walker to do that. It doesn't have to be every day. The greyhound also are very willing to wear a harness. And so for an elderly person walking around their home, instead of shuffling behind a walker, they could actually be having the greyhound guiding them to the toilet, to the bathroom, to the kitchen.
Right. Now, what made you decide that the time was right to write your first novel?
Oh, Galen, the time should have been right years ago. I've always been a writer. I've always written short stories, articles for newspapers, letters to family and friends. I got sick of hearing myself say, I'm writing a book or I want to write a book. So last year, I kicked myself in the pants and got on with it.
Right, now the song you've chosen today is Queen's You're My Best Friend. Yeah. Why?
Well, I dare you to Google the lyrics. I know it was written a human. Did you hear? I know it's written for a human, but it's so appropriate for a dog.
Right, let's listen to Queen's You're My Best Friend.
Make me live. Oh, you do.
Yes, that's a very, very appropriate song when you hear it in that context. What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I'm actually more or less rewriting Two Dogs, One Bone, but from Ben, the hero dog's perspective. And the working title is One Dog, Two Bones, Ben's Side of the Story.
That is a very interesting perspective, and I look forward to reading that. Right, thank you so much for coming in today. Marianne's book, Two Dogs, One Bone, printed by Copy Press, is available from?
It's available from Copy Press. It's also available on ebook on Amazon, and it's also available on my website, charactersandclay.weebly.com.
That's characters in clay, all one word, .weebly, weebly.com. Thank you so much, and the best of luck for your next novel, which I look forward to reading.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Galen Pound, and you've been listening to Top Writers. A podcast of this program and upcoming events can be found on www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Other great local programs from Fresh FM are available through the Access Internet Radio app or our website, freshfm.net.